Welcome to the Wednesday, May 5th, 2021 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. May we get a roll call, please?
Director Ray Russum?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here. Okay, Director Lee, could you lead us in the flag salute, please?
I would be honored to do that if you would all either picture a flag in your mind and follow along with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Thank you very much. That brings us to agenda review. Is there anything on the agenda anyone wants to pull or review? So can I get a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I will make that motion to proceed as published.
Do we need a motion to do that?
Do we do that? Well, that's what we do. Or we just say it's okay?
We've done it both ways.
All right, I'll second that motion.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye. We have to do roll call on Zoom.
Roll call, okay. Can we do a roll call vote, please?
Director Ray Russum?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes. We'll check that out and see. Okay, that brings us to public comment for items that are not appearing on tonight's agenda. So members of the public will have 3 minutes. Is there any public comment?
No one has their hand raised, Linda, but I would ask that AGP let in the name Vanessa Collins, which is Keith Collins, log in to the participant side. If we can upgrade Vanessa Collins.
Yes, I moved him over.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, Keith. So there's no public comment?
I'll let Amy answer that. No one has their hand raised.
Amy, do you see anyone for public comment? You still don't see any hand raised. Shall we go on?
I don't see any attendees or public, I should say.
Okay. Did you open it to the public?
Yes, actually, we do have one member of the public in here.
Okay, all right. Then let's move on to the consent agenda. We have the warrants, the minutes of April 7th, and the approval to purchase the street sweeper. Is there anybody want to pull anything off the consent agenda for further discussion?
Don't need to pull anything. I just wanted a clarifying confirmation from Mr. Gent, if I could, on the warrants.
Yes.
In the fact that there's a number of items on redundancy, so some of which are some significant dollar amounts. And I just wanted to confirm that those dollar amounts are in accordance with existing contracts and the existing budget for the redundancy project.
That is correct. There is, I don't have the number right in front of me, approximately a $1.3 million warrant to Phelan's Construction. That's their first progress payment on the redundancy project. And that includes work that commenced back through January.
Okay, very good. And I also saw several invoices for whether it be soils or construction management. And those are all in keeping with the contracts I would anticipate.
Correct. And there'll be a full accounting and budget consumed presentation at the 6-2 meeting during the quarterly update for the redundancy project.
Very good. Thank you, Madam Chair. That's the only questions I had.
Okay. So can we open to public comment on the consent agenda?
I still don't see any public.
Okay. Very good. Then I'll bring it back to the board and look for a motion if there's no other discussion.
I will move that we approve all three items on the consent agenda as published.
I will second that.
All right. May we get a roll call, please?
Director Ray Russell?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Chair Austin?
Yes. All right. Let's move us now down to item 6A, consideration of fiscal year 2020-2021 third quarter budget review. Is that? Are you going to give that, or is Amy giving it?
Yes. So good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is the district's third quarter budget review. Amy Simpson, the district secretary and bookkeeper, has a brief PowerPoint presentation that she will be sharing with you. And so, Amy, go ahead and you can share your screen when you're ready.
Okay. All right. Do you see my screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening, Board of Directors. This is consideration of fiscal year 2021 third quarter budget review. Tonight's recommendation is that the board receive and file this report. Are you guys seeing the consolidated budget with actuals?
Yes.
Okay. This staff report provides staff's review to both revenues and expenditures. This quarter, Q3, staff does not recommend any adjustments. It should be noted that the fiscal year 2021 district revenues include substantial debt funding for the district's redundancy project. This borrowed money is recorded as revenue into Fund 20. To adequately evaluate the budget at Q3, we will review with and without the redundancy project. Through the end of Q3, the district has received 96%, 74%, if you just look at Fund 19, of its anticipated revenue, and spent 54% of just Fund 19 to its budgeted expenditures. And that is shown in table number 2. Staff has reviewed each account. Table number 1 summarizes anticipated revenues to individual funds. Discussion. As part of the Q3 budget review, staff assessed every budgeted line item to determine where revenue or expenditures are projected to exceed the approved budget or where a surplus may exist at Q3 of fiscal year 2021. Revenue. At the end of the third quarter, the unmodified budget shows overall district revenues are 96% or 74% if you just look at 19 collected. Due to COVID-19, school revenue is unknown currently. This revenue is reported at the end of the year based on average daily attendance. The district anticipated receiving $40,000 in school revenue. Overall, revenues are higher than anticipated. Staff does not anticipate the loss of school revenue to impact the budget. Fund 26 is funded by transfers from Fund 19 and receives no direct revenue. Large improvement projects not related to expansion are budgeted in Fund 26. All projects but 2 are scheduled to be completed during the fiscal year. The 2 projects that have been deferred due to the redundancy project are the influence slide gate and the standby water well. Neither of these projects have an impact to the operation of the district's treatment plant. The total district expenditures at the end of the third quarter stand at $5,342,825, or 16%, 56% of projected expenditures without Fund 20. A summary of expenditures by fund is detailed in table number 2 below. Fund 26 projects that are in progress are the clarifier number 2, sludge pump and VFD, digester cleaning and coating, digester sump pump number 1, FFR pump number 1 rehab, sludge feed pumps number 1 and number 2, and sludge bed water valve replacement. These are budgeted in Fund 26 at $1,552,000. This was the third quarter budget review. The total revenues were 96% received, and the total expenses, excluding the redundancy project, were 56%. In conclusion, staff is recommending the board receive and file this third quarter budget review. And that concludes my report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Amy. Is there any questions from the board for Amy?
I have a quick one.
Okay.
I think I already know the answer, Amy and Jeremy, but I just want to make sure that it's crystal clear for the public. It would be very easy for the next 20 mid-year and quarterly budget reports to say we don't need to make any adjustments because we have plenty of money coming in, but it doesn't explicitly say exclusive of the redundancy monies that are coming in. So I just want to make sure that we underscore that we're okay and that our revenues coming in excluding the revenues coming in for redundancy, we're still on track at 96% and all of that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll respond to that, Amy.
Okay.
So yeah, sure. You're correct, Director A. Russum. So the reason why we look at it two different ways is this part, like the year of startup, when all this revenue came in all at once. So when we received the $28 million in debt service, that hit. So it makes it look like the revenues are lopsided. So that's why we want to look with and without. And so revenues received, if we exclude redundancy, we've received 74% of our revenue right now, which is right on track at third quarter. We would expect 75% is the right number. And so that's why we look at it with both. But if we just looked at it like we normally have our books, those big numbers would kind of wash out some of the smaller standard operating amounts that we're using at the facility. So yes, we're in good financial shape on the redundancy side with appropriate expenses and within budget. And we're also within budget and on track with our standard operating budget, which is about $4 million a year.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I just felt like it's important to just kind of, that was almost like too easy of a question, but it didn't actually say that. So I just wanted to have that be explicit so that it was crystal clear for the public that it's all going well. Thank you very much for that. That's all my questions.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions? I'm going to open it up to public comment now.
I see no public comment or no hands raised.
All righty. Thank you very much. So I'll bring it back to the board for... This was a review, so we'll just receive and file. Thank you very much. Our next item is 6B, modification and update, placing the fiscal year 2021-22 district rates and charges on the county tax roll, modified schedule.
Chair Austin, before we run on, I just wanted to have a chance to make a comment about the last item.
Okay, sure.
I just didn't want to miss the opportunity to say thank you to staff who continually manages costs and has stayed on top of things. And when I first got here to this board, we were still straightening out all kinds of things, and it's just running so smoothly that we can just roll right past that report. And I don't want to not stop and say thank you to everyone, not just the people yes. who are on this Zoom, but everyone at the Sanitation District who are monitoring those costs, keeping them where we want them, and letting us roll right through the third quarter one without even a hitch. So that's all I wanted to say, and we can move on.
Yeah, absolutely, Karen. Thank you for saying that. I know we all agree on that. I'm very, very proud of our staff. So let's move on now to the modification of the tax rolls. So Jeremy, do you?
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is a modification and update on placing the fiscal year 2021-22 district rates and charges on the county tax roll. And this is a modified schedule. And so I have a PowerPoint presentation that I would like to share. So I'll go ahead and take a minute and get my screen sharing set up. Can you see a PowerPoint slide on the screen right now? Okay. So just before we kick off, this picture was taken today. It was kind of cool that in the background there, you can see that those are the stone columns going in for the soil stabilization for the aeration basins and new clarifiers. So you can see the large crane and the large drill rig. We've had some exciting stuff going on here at the district. So not related to the tax rolls, but just a good picture of progress. Before you, I've got a presentation outline just to talk about everything that'll be covered here. So I'll cover, and you'll see a lot of the information, basically the entire staff report. And I'll pause there. The staff report was late getting to the board. And so there's more detail in this PowerPoint presentation than I would typically do. But because I did get the staff report to you too late, I wanted to explain everything in detail that was in the staff report in case you didn't have time to get through that. So we'll cover the recommendation, the background discussion, the initial approach that we took, some of the feedback that we received. And then we'll talk about an analysis that we did to make sure that we were on the right track. And I'll turn it over to our legal counsel, Keith Collins, on the analysis, our revised approach, and the revised timeline moving forward. And then we'll go through a summary of some of the topics that we covered and present the board some options for moving forward. And there is a couple attachments in the staff report that I have later in the slideshow too, if we want to cover some of those. So the recommendation, it's recommended that your board receive this presentation and direct staff to proceed with the Prop 218 notice and hearing process for the election to collect district charges on the tax roll. And this is the change, and this is what the bulk of the staff report is going to cover. Number two, proceed with noticing the adoption of the annual rate report for transmission to the county. And three, separate the two procedural hearings to occur on separate dates. Some quick background. At the board meeting in June of 2016, the board directed staff to move the district rates and charges for the community of Oceano on to the county tax roll and to return to move the other two communities at a future date. Subsequently, in July of 2019, board directed staff to engage the remaining two member agencies and begin discussions with city management to create a uniform and cost-effective billing for districts' rates and charges. And then on March 3rd, there was a progress meeting. The board received a progress update on the efforts to move the rates and charges to the tax roll. Some discussion. Since 2016, the district has collected the community of Oceano's rates and charges on the tax roll. And this method, we now know, provides several advantages. One of the advantages is the security of the revenue, and that is from the fact that the county treasury provides full revenues to the district regardless of delinquencies through what is called a teeter plan. And what that means is the county tax collector will use use his office to make sure that collections are made to pay the district on time in full amounts owed. So this is beneficial when we're doing, if we're doing a bond sale. This is something that our lenders ask about, like, how is your revenue secured? And so this is considered the highest level of security for revenues. The second item is our billing costs would go down. There's some efficiencies gained by having everybody on one system, and using the tax roll is a little bit more efficient than doing individual monthly or bi-monthly billing. And that would result in approximately $35,000 in district savings annually. A little bit more detail on that. We currently use NBS. NBS is a municipal advisor and billing company. And the cost for billing Oceano customers through MBS is about $11,000 a year. And the charges that we pay to AG and Grover Beach are about $22,000 a year. That added up to a total cost of $55,000 to do all of our billing and receive our revenues. But due to the efficiencies available on the tax roll method, we would those expenses, that $10,900 that you see for Oceano, would only increase to between $17,000 and $20,000, which would result in approximately $35,000 in annual savings on our billing expense. So our initial approach, we having previously transitioned Oceano to the tax roll, we set out to mimic the process that was undertaken in 2016. So we engaged MBS to develop that course and plan, and that approach utilized a postcard that was sent out in mid-April notifying the public of what was occurring. That postcard, and I'll pause there a little bit. This postcard it attempts to combine both the hearing to decide to move to the tax rolls and the hearing that would allow people to review the amount that is placed on their tax bill. And it was really the combination of those two meetings following our in-depth legal review with district legal counsel and some special counsel and NBS, we sat down, and it was really the attempt to have those hearings on the same day. And that led to confusion. And so in our review, I'll get into it more, we modify the approach to separate those meetings so that it's clear to the public that these are two separate actions. The first one is, hey, we're going to decide to do this. We want to hear from you. We need to know what impacts you're going to have before we make this decision to say, yes, the district is going to move forward with doing this. Then,
Jeremy, if I could briefly just interject briefly, we think the reason they also combined these hearings for this date is because that's the date that they have planned to do the annual rate roll hearing for the Oceano Community Services District. And so for efficiency, we think they were just trying to do everything on the same day. That's all.
Okay. Thanks, Keith. So yeah, there was, so that was a busy day. And we are now looking at that saying we would like to separate that business to two different dates. Some of the feedback we received. So the feedback generated by the postcard mailing, we received about 120 questions. That was not much is coming in anymore, but that was as of Thursday of last week, and 11 formal protests on the proposed change. One of the challenges that I observed during the outreach is that several customers reached out to the member agencies with very specific and sometimes technical questions. Even though the postcard directed them to contact NBS, our billing consultant, with those questions. And that could have been with a little bit more outreach and coordination with our member agencies. I'll be mindful to do that when we're doing that. We've got a little bit of a unique situation where we're serving other members. And so folks are used to having their bill come from the city of Grover or the city of AG. And so if there's a change, of course, they're going to pick up the phone and call who they're working with now. And so that led to some more confusion with the city staff trying to explain what was happening, and they weren't fully educated on the process or how it worked. So we observed that as well. And now we're on to the analysis that we took a look at to see what we could modify to improve the process and the public outreach. And I'll turn it over to Keith here.
Thank you, Jeremy. Yes, this is Keith Collins, General Counsel to the district. As Jeremy was explaining, what our consultant initially planned to do was to combine the two separate and distinct actions on the same day at the same meeting. And it seems that they also wanted to do that at the same time
as they presented the annual rate report for the community of Oceano. So for efficiency, they were just trying to combine everything into one day, one resolution to do all of these acts. And the notice that they put out didn't really clarify exactly the distinct actions that would be contemplated by the board. So as I said, the two options, the two distinct actions that are contemplated is number one, electing to collect the tax, the rates on the tax roll for Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. And then the second separate and distinct action is to hold a public hearing on the annual rate report, which is going to be then collected on the tax roll. And there are different statutes that apply to both of those two different actions. And there are different noticing and hearing procedures for each of those two separate actions. There's different publication requirements for those two separate actions. And so for clarity and for transparency, we decided to hit the brakes on the initial approach and change things. We still think that there's time to, we know that there's still time to do this before the fiscal year ends and time to collect these rates on the tax roll for the coming fiscal year. And so that's what we've done. And that's what we've recommended. Can we advance the slide, please? So specifically, the statute that governs the authority of the district to collect these rates on the tax roll is Health and Safety Code 5473. And all that's required under this statute is to adopt a resolution by a two-thirds vote that we would like to do that. It's very simple. However, there is a decent argument that Prop 218 would apply, because if the district elects to collect these rates on the tax roll, it would then be due and payable by the property owner and not necessarily the customer. So there's a decent argument that this change, even though the rates aren't increasing, because they're imposed on the property owner, because they're collected on the tax roll, there's a decent argument that this is an increase, because whereas before the property owner was not on the hook for anything, they would be on the hook for the rates that, again, are not increasing by this action. So we felt it conservative and that the proper approach to just treat this change, even though 5473 doesn't require a Prop 218 notice because we're not increasing the taxes, to still treat it as though it is an increase and do the procedural requirements required by Prop 218, give it the 45-day notice, hold the protest hearing, and then adopt the resolution after that process has played out. Can we advance the slide, please? Now, these other code sections that you see relate to the second separate and distinct action, which is the adoption of the annual rate report. So this is that long list of properties and the rates that the district imposes on each for the sewer service. And it's a long list, and that's the list that goes to the county for collection on the tax roll. And these health and safety code sections require a different hearing and noticing procedure. It's a 2-week publication requirement, 14-day notice, and the hearing is basically there so that the public can see their property and the amount that the district would be imposing to be collected through the tax roll, and it gives them a chance to come and see it before it actually goes to the county so they can object or ask questions and see it. In reality, very few people come and object to the rates. It's all already established, and again, they're not increasing, and so that's the separate action that we need to separate and treat it separately and distinctly and not conflate the two. Mm-hmm. Can we go ahead and advance the slide, please? So now that we've separated those two and gotten everything straight, we have reviewed the public feedback and we've answered some questions from the board. And we decided that if the board decides to continue the efforts to move Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande to collection on the tax rolls, then we have a revised schedule that I'll go through with you in just a moment that allows us to accomplish these two separate and distinct actions in time to collect these rates on the upcoming fiscal year. Can we advance? So the revision seeks to accomplish the following. Number one, we're trying to notify all the property owners and the ratepayers with a clarifying letter explaining the process, the revised schedule, and the additional hearing dates. So that last notice that was sent out by NBS, we're going to send out another notice. That notice is going to clearly satisfy the requirements of Prop 218 and notice a new hearing and kind of explain some of the issues that caused some confusion. And then we're going to comply with the Prop 218 notice and hearing process. And then we're going to alleviate the confusion and separate the two actions into two different and distinct choices and actions before the board. Can we advance? And here is your timeline. So what we've recommended is no later than May 16th to mail this new letter clarifying the procedure and clarifying the two separate actions that will be taken by the board, that are contemplated to be taken by the board. Then on June 30th of this year, so that would be a special meeting date, but it's something that we've looked at in the calendar. And if it's a special meeting date that works for the board, that we propose to do it on this date, June 30th, it's a Wednesday, to conduct the Prop 218 protest hearing on the change, on the election to collect the rates on the tax roll for Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. And at that meeting, after we have that hearing that satisfies the requirement of Prop 218, the board would consider the resolution to make the switch. If that is successful, what we propose is then no later than July 7th to mail a postcard notice of the report filing. This is the annual rate roll report. This is that long list of properties and the rates attached to each property that the district will be sending to the county. That's a notice no later than July 7th that we'll be having a hearing on that annual rate report. Then, also no later than July 7th, we would publish notice in the paper of this hearing, because the code, the health and safety code sections that I showed to you earlier require that we publish it twice over a period of 14 days. Then on July 14th, we send that second publication of notice, and that gets published in the paper. And then at the regular meeting on July 21st, we hold the rate roll hearing. And the board would consider adopting that long list, that rate roll that has all of the properties and the rates to be sent to the county. And then if it approves the rate roll report, the next day on July 22nd, district staff would then transmit that approved report to the county for collection on the upcoming fiscal year tax roll. Can we advance? Okay, and I'll let Jeremy do the summary.
Okay. Thanks, Keith. So just in summary, to kind of to step back through what we did. So in 2016, initially, the board directed the district to move all three agencies to the tax roll. Subsequently, revised that direction to only move Oceano. And that was largely based on district staff identifying some cash flow issues. And what we mean by that is the cities make payments monthly to the district, and the county tax collector makes payment to us in waves. It can't really be considered twice a year, like when the taxes are due. They pay us as people pay the taxes, and then at the very end, if there's anything they still owe us, they send us the check for the remainder. So we see it's kind of two humps like a camel when these revenues come in from the county. Currently, the district's financial position would allow for movement to the tax roll without any cash flow concerns, and that's because of our current district reserves. Now would be an appropriate time to take that on. In 2015, district reserves were down around $3 million, and now they're in excess of 11. So it's those type of timing things that are no longer an issue, and we're only moving the two remaining and not all three at once. So financially, now would be an okay time to do that. Another factual thing that the board should consider: currently, agency billing for Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach is generally functioning for the district. That was not necessarily the case. The urgency in 2015 and 2016 to make this change was more important. And so I just want to communicate there's a different consideration in front of us. In 2016, there was the district reached an impasse in negotiating how charges would be handled with Oceano. And so there had to be a decision made on how to collect rates. We're not necessarily faced with that today. However, creating that uniform billing system would save the district that approximately $35,000 a year. That's about 0.5% of our annual revenues. And what that means is we're always looking for ways to eliminate inefficiencies. And we want to maintain the lowest rates in the region, which we currently have. And so what that 0.5% means is maybe it's a little longer before we raise rates, or maybe when we do raise rates, it's, you know, 2% instead of 2.5%. So those are, you know, meaningful and good governance and showing that the district has a good fiscal responsibility for how we handle our ratepayers' money. So the health and safety code, and just to summarize some of the requirements, health and safety code requires special notice to adopt the annual rate report, as Keith covered. The Article 8D, Section 6 of the California Constitution establishes the process to assess or increase property fees. The district is not increasing fees with the proposed action. Compliance with Prop 218's notice and hearing process is a conservative, familiar, and transparent approach to making a recommended change. Due to the public interest and multi-agency involvement, staff recommends using that full, robust 218 process moving forward. Options for your board to consider. Direct staff to proceed as recommended and as discussed in the staff report. Two, you could direct staff to cease all efforts and to move billing to the county tax roll and remain on agency billing, or you could provide other direction to staff. And with that, I'll pause. I do have some remaining slides that include some of the frequently asked questions. There's about 10 of them that we've pushed out, which answered most of the questions. And then there's a letter from the Oceano Community Services District General Manager indicating that the change in Oceano has been a success and that there has been no ongoing issues with the district collecting rates and charges for the community services district. And so with that, I'll just open it up and try to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jeremy. Who wants to ask questions first?
I have some. I don't know if Mayor Lee is frozen or if he's just contemplative.
I hope I'm not frozen, but
I only have a couple of them. I only have a couple of them. This is so helpful because if I was confused, then the public was confused. And so I'm getting a little bit into comments, but I just want to reassure you before I go into my question that I find this so much, so helpful. So my two questions are, I think the answer to this one's obvious, but I just want to make sure that I'm reading this right. So because we're going to complete, if we complete the process and if we don't get protests, et cetera, then we would complete this process in late July, which would mean that this would move to the tax rolls for the 21-22 year. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So then if I am asked this question in the public, I can say that slowing this down has given everyone basically one more year to deal with whatever impact this is on them. For example, if you are a property owner who leases out your property, you have one full lease cycle to be able to manage any impact or shifting who pays for what or whatever. So I guess that's a little bit commentary, but I wanted to ask that question for that reason. And secondly, some of the feedback that I received, actually I received a lot of feedback from constituents in AG who did call NBS and with those technical questions, and they were turned away. So that's how we ended up fielding those questions, because they were not in a position to answer those technical questions. So my question is, can we have someone here answering those questions? I don't believe NBS was able to do that. And that was part of the confusion as well. People would call up and say, well, what if this happens? And they'd say, we don't know, call call your person. So they could answer questions about process, but not really the kind of questions we were fielding, like I was forwarding to you.
So I'll jump in and answer that one, Director Aras. Yes. So moving forward, the mailer, I would like to move that internal. And the initial mailer, I think it would have been a little bit more of a challenge for the district to answer these questions. Now, having done this and had to answer these questions and participate in this, I think we are more suited to provide adequate service, to improve service to the callers that have questions. And we would be best to respond because we understand the full community dynamic and potentially can answer some of the more nuanced questions that NBS struggled to answer. So back in April, maybe we didn't know as much as NBS because we were missing some of the NBS side. But now I think we have that and would be able to answer the more routine district and agency type questions that were coming in as well.
So in the staff report, it said that they would be the ones fielding those questions. So am I hearing that we can, I don't know if this needs to be in a motion or if we can just kind of have the board direct that we make that change so that it's easier on the constituents.
So the board can make the direction, but I will be circulating a draft letter to your board to see the language that we're putting out. And we'll see that the contact is the primary contact is the district and not NBS in that upcoming mailer.
Oh, I like that very much, because I think if we would have seen, you know, if we could have commented on it, that would have been good. So, yeah, great. That sounds fantastic. Those are my only two questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Mayor Lee, do you have any questions?
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. So, and as similar to Mayor Ray Russom, I did field a number of questions and emails, which I was able to pass along to the district if I wasn't able to respond directly. But most of the concerns, questions, comments that I had fielded dealt with, I guess, procedures and protocols, and how do they, how is the interaction between tenants and landlords and businesses and tenants and property owners? How, and perhaps this is a question ultimately for Chair Austin, is Oceano doesn't appear to be having any significant concerns with that, but there was a number of concerns expressed to me that it's an unknown whether the landlords are charging just the sewer fees on the rent increase or so forth, and how is that protection in place put in place for landlords and tenants? And so I'm not sure who if one or both folks could respond to that.
Well, I think it's just it's between the landlord and the tenant. The landlord can raise their rent. I mean, they can tell them it's going to go this certain amount, or I think what happened here was that the tenants paid, got the copy of the tax bill, and the tenants paid every 6 months, they paid that fee directly to their owners. It just depends on the relationship and what the landlords and the tenants want to work out on it. A lot of landlords, you know, pay that anyway. And then mostly it's just like on the single family homes where the tenants do pay the water bill. And so, like I say, it's just something, it all worked out with everyone. It was first, you know, the very beginning, there's the same kind of questions now that people were asking, and it just smoothed out really fast. And now you don't hear, you know, our general manager put it real clear in the letter that it's working beautiful and we don't have any complaints or problems with it. So.
Okay. I appreciate that. And I think the questions that folks that have talked to me about it were surrounding that. So I guess my other components would be part of comments rather than questions. Thanks.
Okay. Do we want to open this to public comment now? Okay. Is there any public comment on this item?
I see no hands raised.
Okay. Well, I'm thank you for this thorough report and all the work you did. I think it's the way to go. I think I, you know, agree with the staff recommendations. I guess everyone else agrees we can go ahead and make a motion and there's no other discussion.
I do have some comments, but I'll defer to Mayor Ray Russom if she wants to make her comments first.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Gotcha. So, and I respect the fact that back in 2016, the situation was resolving an issue that had arisen in Oceano. But to my approach, that same issue does not currently exist in Grover and or Arroyo Grande. And so from a Grover Beach perspective, I am supportive of keeping it the way it is, realizing that it, notwithstanding the way it's working in Oceano, I don't foresee a methodology that the district could utilize that addresses tenant-landlord instability, for lack of a better term, where perhaps the landlord says, okay, I've got to raise your rent by $100 a month because now the sewer bill is on my property tax, when generally it should be $17 a month. So now the landlords are taking advantage potentially, not all the time, but potentially for their tenants, and making it even more difficult for folks to live in the district or in the cities, to the point where now it becomes a little bit more of a utility burden upon the renter or the business owner that happens to be the tenant to a property owner. And so looking at it from that perspective, from the way that my constituents have talked to me and expressed the concerns, I'm supportive of leaving the situation as is, unless a real problem begins to arise in Grover Beach and or Arroyo Grande. So I guess those are my comments.
Okay, thank you. Director Ray Russom?
That was a lot for me to take in, because that's where I was before. And that is what I've heard loud and clear from my constituents is, if it ain't broke, why are you trying to fix it? Now I realize that, you know, there's advantages here. So I feel like I need to think a little bit more based on what I just heard. Because that means the decision is mine. And I realize you've put a timeline in front of us, but I feel like given what Mayor Lee just said, I don't want to make a snap decision right now. I tend to agree with him. I feel like I need to confer with my city manager. This is the disadvantage of having a three-person panel. We don't cheat here. So I had no idea that this was going to be part of the discussion tonight, or that I would even have the latitude to have that conversation or that thought process. So given that, I'd like to think about this just a little bit more, because my gut instinct is to agree with Director Lee and throw all this out the window. And I'm not sure that that's the right move. I want to be able to really think a little bit more about this and talk a little bit more about this. And I don't want to make a snap decision on a very big issue. So my question now, based on the comment that I just heard, is for Mr. Collins. So Keith, I took copious notes here. And is it possible, especially since we're not under the gun, to shift all of this by a month? So just put, you know, everything from, you know, it's from June to July to July to August, so that I can do some homework before the next meeting. If not, I'll make a decision tonight. If that's what you want me to do, I feel like I need to talk it through and think it through a little bit, but I guess I'm asking, can I have one more meeting to have this conversation? Are we doing the, no, we're doing the second meeting in June and maybe even a third. What do you think?
You could provide other direction to staff, and yes, you could take another month. If you do take another month, we would not have the timeline in place. There's no conceivable way that we could get this done in order to collect these rates on the upcoming roll. I will say, to address Director Lee's point about predatory landlords who are using this as an opportunity to increase the rent on their tenants, that there are a host of laws in place in the civil code that cap the amount of rent rental increases to a percentage that a landlord can impose within a given 12-month period. So the example that Director Lee said of if you know the rate is $17 and they raise it $100, they would be in violation of those laws. And the tenants themselves would also be given notice of both the rate roll hearing, so they would know how much the amount is, as well as the property owner. So if the tenant if the landlord is trying to pull a fast one on the tenant has these protections in place. Just if you need to include that in your consideration of the points that he raised.
Okay.
So,
I'm real disappointed because our job here is to look out for the sanitation district and saving $35,000 a year. It was what Mr. Gent said, you know, would help us keep our rates down. And it's not our job to police the landlords. That's like, thank you for those comments, Mr. Collins, because, you know, our job is to protect the sanitation district and our ratepayers and our, you know, our communities. And we can't police what landlords do. And there's no way they could do it. There are laws that cover that. So that, in Oceano, when it happened in Oceano, people asked the same questions, but they understood it, they work with it, and they did it. And so at first, everyone does come in and say, oh, no, you know, we were all like, just leave it the same. But then it really does work. It's just like people are now, we're hearing all around this area, they don't want change on certain things. Well, this is just like a change that is for the benefit of everyone. And so I don't know why we would put it off. I think we need to move forward. It was brought up, like you said, in 2016. And the problem was with the Oceano, there was this problem with the board members from Oceano and Rio Grande, you know, whatever you want to call it, I don't know. So I have a whole report on what happened back then, but there is no problem now with the Royo and Grover, but it's the money savings that we will get and the efficiency and the moving forward and being more, you know, streamlined. I don't think it's prudent of us or fiscally responsible to not move forward with this. So I'm very disappointed if we're going to be going the other way. It's not in the best interest of the district or our ratepayers. So that's all I have to say. So whatever you guys want to do.
So here's where I'm at as I'm sitting here listening and getting at least half a few minutes to make a consideration. Number one, I don't expect in the next month that my constituents will come out of the woodwork and say, no, 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 you should do this. So to think that I need to talk to my ratepayers on this, I don't think is going to help me make a decision. My question is going to be very frank right now because I need to know the answer. So Mayor Lee, I'd like to ask you directly, is your vote going to be no tonight?
So based upon ultimately, yes. So is that
correct? It's going to be no, is what you're saying.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Moving forward with the approach that we have in front of us this evening. Notwithstanding, I think Roy Grande is still planning to have Mr. Gent come in and do a presentation on the 11th, or I'm not sure if that's happened or if that's moved. Perhaps that's the window that you have to provide that additional contemplation time.
Well, my question is in terms of tonight, that if the board, okay, maybe this is for Keith or Jeremy then. If the board chooses to not, well, we're going to have to give direction either way. It's three points, right? It's either do not proceed, proceed with the old way, or proceed with the new way, right?
Right.
So yeah. I want to make sure that I understand, Jeff, you're saying you want to stop the process. We're done.
From a straw poll standpoint, that would be my position.
Okay.
So from a straw poll standpoint, if I'm outvoted 2-1, I'm going to support the process moving forward. So I mean, let's just be clear that way. It's like I'm once a decision's made by the majority of us, I'm going to support whatever decision we all make. But
thank you for that.
I would be a currently a no.
Thank you. I should have used the word straw poll. So I'm sorry about that. That would have been the official way to ask the question. I should know better. So sorry. So in that case, I can't move forward. And I need to explain why. I was ready to move forward. I like the process. I think it clears up the concerns that I had about who's making decision, when the decision is made, proper noticing. This has been my squawk all along. And I want to thank Mr. Collins, and I want to thank the Administrator Gent for hearing my call. However, I do not in good conscience feel that I can make that decision for the ratepayers of Grover Beach. And that's what I would be doing, because that would mean that I would be saying yes. And now Grover Beach's mayor was not able to affect what his constituents are telling him to do, or what he feels that they're telling him to do. So again, straw polling, I would not be able to make that decision. That's not my decision to make. So I have asked for the same courtesy from this group before, when I don't even remember what issue it was, but I remember where we were. We were in Grover Beach's chambers, and I can't remember. It was their turn. But something that was going to affect the city of Arroyo Grande, and I needed to talk with my city manager, and it could have been a 2-1 vote to move. And I asked for the grace of this group to wait so that I could talk to my city manager and come back. And they did that, knowing that they could have made that decision for the city of Arroyo Grande. And I'm going to extend that same courtesy here, that if the city of Grover Beach is not for it, then I'm not going to force it on them. So I regretfully have to say that that's where I have to be right now, because I don't feel comfortable making that decision.
I'm glad you guys consider it with each other. You don't consider Oceano, because when Oceano got on the, it was 2-1. Oceano went to the tax rolls. So,
well, it wasn't me that was here. So
no, it wasn't me either, but this is just doing a really disservice to the sanitation district, I feel. So we're going to make a motion now for.
Chair Austin, if I could just make one more comment, and not trying to steer anybody's vote one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Director Russum, Ray Russum, indicated that she would like some more time. The only action before you tonight is to direct staff to incur the cost of starting this process. No official action is contemplated to be taken until June 30th, which is more than a month away, almost 2 months away. If there is any inclination for the board to make this change, it would need to make the recommendation to proceed tonight, knowing that no official action would occur, and the final decision on whether or not to make the switch would not occur at least until June 30th. So I just want to put that out there for your information, so that nobody feels like they're under the gun. The only thing tonight is to start the process to then make that decision on June 30th.
So what do you think of that?
The current concern I have, I appreciate that very much, but it's the first part of that, which was we would be voting to incur the cost. And I don't want to vote to incur a cost that we know isn't going to make it through that next part. So I have to, you know, I would like to hear from Mayor Lee, having heard that, because if he doesn't anticipate that his decision is changed, then it would not be fiscally prudent for us to move forward.
And I appreciate both what Chair Austin's saying and what Director Ray Russum is saying. So from a procedural standpoint, not to disrespect anything that that Mr. Collins has said, it has not changed my perspective on the process. And I'm realizing that I do take Oceana residents into consideration when I make these decisions, when I'm sitting here with my district board hat on versus with my mayor hat on for the constituents of Grover Beach. And I appreciate Mayor Ray Russum's comments about the determination for others in this case, but we are doing that. So we do that every time we make a decision as a director. We each bring our city or our district perspective to our seats, but we do what we think is in the best overall interest of the district proceeding forward. And so from that perspective, I still would be a no this evening, respectfully understanding that if, again, Arroyo Grande and Oceano decided to move forward with that, then the residents of Grover Beach have an opportunity to participate fully in the protest. And if that's the case, then they have their opportunity to present the information that could sway either members of Arroyo Grande or Oceano. So I am okay if we move forward, realizing that my vote on behalf of the residents of Grover Beach is going to be no, but realizing this is a joint powers authority that takes into consideration the entire district constituents.
So what do you guys want to do? You're going to make a motion to, you have two choices now.
Mr. Jen, can you put the choices back up on the screen? Cause I'm sorry. I don't have that page in front of me on the, and while we're waiting for that, I just want to reiterate that I'm sure you all remember it was me and my alternate director, George, who were so concerned because the issue when you're dealing with people's taxes is, you know, from a mathematical standpoint, you know, you the dollars and cents, $35,000, that all makes sense. And from a efficiency standpoint, sure. But when we're talking about taxes, there is nothing that is more sensitive in the United States of America than taxes. It's deep in our DNA. And I wanted to be ultra sensitive to that and making sure we brought the public along. And in the interim, surprisingly, you know, Mayor Lee heard loud and clear from his constituents. And it's one thing when we're making decisions on behalf of the district, and it's another thing when we're talking about something as sensitive as this, which is why there are all these procedures and processes that we have to go through, rather than the standard, you know, we're making a decision as a board every, you know, on the first Wednesday of every month. All of these 218 procedures and noticing procedures are very special in these cases because they are different than what we normally do. So I am sorry that, but I think I've made pretty clear that I don't feel comfortable making that decision for the ratepayers of Grover Beach. And this is something that doesn't affect Oceano. Tonight's decision does not affect Oceano. Tonight's decision affects the city of Arroyo Grande and the city of Grover Beach. And that would put that decision in my hands, and I'm uncomfortable with it. So for that reason, I'm going to move that we follow option two, which is cease efforts to move billing to county tax roll and continue with agency billing.
And I will second that.
Okay, can we get a, before I comment, before I call for the vote, I want to make a comment on Director Ray Russum. I just find it funny how when it's, you're talking about raising taxes, it's not raising taxes. This all went on with Oceano. And at that time, Oceano, it was said in the report here that everybody agreed, Arroyo and Grover, you guys have known about this all along. And now you're worried about your residents having their taxes increased or their perception of it, where at the time when Oceano was thrown to them, no one was concerned about that. I just want to make that clear. So we'll call the vote, please.
I would definitely, I would like to respond to that and just make very clear for the people watching in perpetuity. I was not mayor at that time. There were significant problems on this board. It's one of the reasons I ran for mayor, and I do not accept responsibility for the decision that someone else made and for whatever calculus was on their minds. But I can only do what's in front of me now.
Can we have the vote, please?
And if I could just make a quick comment as well, I concur with Mayor Ray Russell's comments. I also do appreciate Chair Austin's perspective on this, realizing that, yes, neither the Aurora Grande or Grover representatives are currently the same ones. But I also do recall, either watching or listening, that both representatives did perhaps have more of a commonality of perspective that AG and Grover would.
We know you guys are special. Let's just call for the vote, please. We know you guys are special. Let's go.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. May we call a motion and a second?
Director, was there a second?
Yes, Director Lee seconded the motion.
Okay, Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Austin?
No. Okay.
And just before we leave that item, I do feel, just to clarify some comments, is this direction for me has been consistent since I've been on this board to continue moving forward with the billing as is. So thank you for going through this process and getting more information for us to be able to make the decision.
Okay, we'll go on to the director, the district administrator. Did we call for public comment on that last item now that I think about it? I don't think I did.
I don't think we did either, but we can open up that item again and
we better ask. Do it just in case. Is there any public comment?
There is no public participation.
Okay. All right.
Great. And I'd hate to reopen that can of worms, but can we take another vote just after we've asked for public comment, just for clarity?
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Yes. Let's do that.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Austin?
No. Okay. Let's move on now to our district administrator and plant operations report.
Good evening, Jeremy Jent, district administrator. I'm going to go ahead and share the screen this time of the administrator's report. The administrator's report itself is quite brief. But we do have some photos included of the redundancy work. Please reserve June 16th as a potential second monthly meeting in June. That will be where we intend on adopting our final budget. There were no plant tours suspended due to COVID-19, and we don't even have any room on the site right now to bring people in. Second quarterly update for redundancies coming June 2nd. So we'll be putting together a slideshow and financial update and progress to show your board. It's moving along, a lot of excitement, and it's been disruptive to staff a little in a good way. And so we're happy to see that moving quite along. Also on 6-2, we'll be presenting our draft budget for the 21-22 fiscal year. And on the 6-16, I will include my contract renewal. It has a sunset for July 2nd, so we'll want to take action on that. And then the 2021 final budget will be presented there for adoption. And we also anticipate a resolution for the non-represented employees. I should change that to TBD. We'll be bringing that back after we get through negotiations with SEIU, I think would be the appropriate time to entertain that. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Jones to go through the plant operations report. Michael?
Thank you, Jamie. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Michael Jones, plant superintendent. During this reporting period, April 1st through April 30th, the district's facility met its permit limitations as required under the state of California's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. Monthly plant data as of April of 2021, all of our numbers continue to be well within permit limitations. The plant's running really well, given everything that's going on with the redundancy project, and then also our digester number two rehabilitation project that just started this week. I'll have more of an update as that work continues for the board at our next regular scheduled board meeting. Some operations maintenance tasks that staff completed were as follows. We inspected and marked underground service alerts, San Luis Powerhouse troubleshot our emergency generator day tank high level alarm. We unplugged our backup sodium bisulfite system. We removed a temporary sludge bed wall. We replaced check valves on backup disinfection system. We temporarily repaired a centrifuge auger until replacement is received. Moved walkway bridge in preparation for surplus. Weed abate throughout the plant. Removed painted bolts on our Hallen strainers in preparation for removal and replacement. Some work orders staff completed were rinse down all surfaces of clarifiers, derag both primary clarifier sludge pumps, inspected the digester vacuum pressure relief valves. We calibrated our backup disinfection system. We test ran our emergency generator and emergency bypass pump. Flushed our sodium bisulfite header. We performed a monthly safety walk and exercised our effluent pumps. Some preventative maintenance we performed preventative maintenance on our forklift, emergency generator, plant carts, our 6-inch trash pump, building exhaust fans, clarifier drive units, our fixed film reactor distributor drive, water champ, and fixed film reactor exhaust fans. Staff participated in training on fire protection and prevention. We did have one call out for a motion alarm in our maintenance building. Operation staff responded and inspected the maintenance building. There were no signs of entry, and it was probably due to a small bird in our maintenance building. Those motion sensors go off pretty easily, and sometimes we get like little birds stuck in there. So there was no concerns there. And then just moving forward, we just have some photos of our ongoing redundancy projects. This first picture here is they're installing the new AT&T and PG&E conduits. So that's just that's kind of going down our main driveway right there. This photo is just a picture from our splitter box. I believe this they're putting in the compaction grounding, which is being put in to protect the primary clarifier number two and the existing Pismo outfall line. And this picture here is again just the new PG&E and communication and AT&T just facing east. And this photo is just kind of another angle. Again, I'm not sure. It's just a photo of the project site. And then this one right here is kind of just from our fixed film reactor looking down at the project site. Something we're also doing from this angle is we have a time lapse for the entire project, and it takes photos during the 8-hour workday every 5 minutes. So that video is going to be pretty awesome when it's all said and done. So, and I can't wait to show that to you guys. And with that, I conclude my report, and I'm ready to answer any questions.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Michael. Is there any questions for Michael?
Just a quick one. I'd love to see that even. I don't want to wait till it's done. Are you going to put a couple of them out over time? Because that sounds really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's pretty easy. I can like share my screen and show you something. I could do that right now if you wanted to.
I mean, I'm certainly happy to see it, but maybe we could put it online. Like Jeremy's other video that he did before was really cool too. Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, in terms of the ratepayers, seeing what their money's paying for, those are really cool and they're fun to share on social media.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we can do that on our Facebook. That's actually a good idea.
We'll get some content prepared for the June. We've got some work in progress on that for the June 2nd meeting as far as some media as well. So there'll be something coming at that meeting.
Great. Thank you. Anything else?
Mine was just going to be the same tone as trying to get it onto either social media or even posting it on the district website. So unless there's a security concern with any part of it, but I think, yeah, the Everyone I talk to is excited to see the progress, and I'm sure that would drive traffic to the district website or the Facebook page as well.
And I always share it all. You guys put that stuff up. Everybody saw the crane today from clear over here from my place. Yeah, everybody. Hey, did you see the crane over at the sewer plant?
Yeah, that thing's got over 80 tons of counterweight on it. It's massive. It's awesome. Yeah. It's quite the process.
Yeah. All righty. Well, is there any public, just to make sure, public comment?
There is still no public attendees.
Okay.
No public comment.
Well, then that brings us to our closed session. So we adjourn now and then go on to the other screen, right?
Correct.
Did we hear from Jeremy?
What?
Did we hear from you, or did I just space out during that part of your report?
Oh, yep. Did I give my administrator's report?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, wow. I must have just spaced out on you. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Do you have any questions, Karen? Okay.
No, it must have gone so fast. I didn't realize it even happened.
And then, Keith, do we need to come back out of closed session and report out?
I don't anticipate there being any reportable action taken in the closed session, no.
Okay. So can we close? AGP's done? Or?
So we just leave the meeting, right, and go back out to our email and answer this. Go on to the next one, right? Is that how we do that?
Right.
Yeah. Check for the invite. I sent about 5:30.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All Everybody right. have a good evening.
The real question is, did Jeff get it?
I did.
I hope so.
All right. See y'all in a second.
See you in a minute.